Let's go back and talk about the minds of some of these serial killers and killers. You're saying then when they're small, about 82% of them have really had screwed up families.
Well, George, you know, it's I hate to seem like I'm making excuses for bad behavior, and I'm not.
I understand.
Again, I must emphasize that everything that I say, everything that I learned came about from on-hand experience, from seeing and knowing and hearing stories myself. You can't excuse the type of behavior these criminals commit, but what you can do is look at the truths, look at the building blocks. Do these guys come out of their mother's womb that way? What factors contribute to them becoming so sadistic, so mean, so driven? And unfortunately, a large part of it has to do with severe abuse in the formative years. That's the fact. I mean, any animal in nature, while it's growing up, while it's still young, if you beat it and whip it and kick it, and beat it and whip it and kick it, as soon as it has teeth, as soon as it gets old enough, it's going to start biting back. You put any seed in the ground, you don't give it what it needs to grow, water, sun, and light, the proper amounts, it grows weird, it grows deformed. And it's just that way with people. It's really that simple. It's all about 2 and 2 is 4. We know now how bad it can really be, how terrible parents can be, how children are all the time falling through the cracks, and all these terrible, unspeakable things are happening to children. Well, hello, what happens when those children grow up? Are they well balanced? Do they have their acts together? Are they quick to lose their tempers? What happens to children who are severely sexually abused over a long period of time and never get any help, never get any therapy? This, unfortunately, is happening a lot, of course, around the world, and I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a large contributing factor to what makes psychopaths. Initially, sociopaths who grow into psychopaths.
Are these kids, when they're smaller, Philip, do they all, you know, some say they kill animals, they pluck the legs out of spiders and things like that. I mean, is that a telltale sign?
There are the three flags, and one, bedwetting, fire starting, and cruelty to animals. And they all seem to manifest that. And all those things come about as a result also of sexual abuse. As the most obvious example, Jeffrey Dahmer, when he was 8 years old, he was skinning animals. He was seeking out animals that had been ran over but weren't killed, and he was torturing them, and he was impaling them when he was 8. And he grew up believe what the parents of anybody says, because if the parents were in fact the abusers, they're not going to admit that they had done something. Something was done to Jeffrey Dahmer. If it wasn't by his parents, it was by somebody close to the family, close to the home, and he grew up with such a distorted, strange, perverse, sadistic sexuality that it had to some degree, be learned experience. People are not born that way. People certainly are born with a proclivity towards sudden violence, short temper, even to some degree towards sexual deviance, but not the far degree that Jeffrey Dahmer was. And I use him as an example because he looked like, you know, somebody you could trust. He didn't seem like a threat. He didn't seem dangerous. He worked in a chocolate store. He was thought of as a meek guy in the neighborhood who minded his own business, but he was a monster. He was genuinely, truly a monster. Not only killing people, but boring holes in their heads with drills and pouring Drano into their brains because he wanted to make zombies of them, out of them, to keep them alive so he can keep sodomizing them.
Jeez.
He wanted to keep them alive in his veggie state so he could have sex with them. I should emphasize that sex is so much inherently a part of what serial murder is about. which for some reason that doesn't seem to be acknowledged. We don't see that in movies. We don't hear about that. It's like, and when it's spoken, it's like between the lines, and it shouldn't be. It should be understood that that's the driving, motivating
factor. Well, is it control, power, also, that they're looking for?
Well, you know, they say rape is not about sex, it's about power, and of course that's true. But still, the rapist is getting an erection and having an orgasm, and that is sex. What deep-seated motivations are going on in his brain is almost irrelevant to the fact that somebody's being raped. The truth of the matter is that, yes, it's all about sadistic sex. Jack the Ripper was the first obvious example the society knows of. It was about sex. Ted Bundy, more recently, John Wayne Gacy.
All of them, and
yeah,
I guess.
Well, they're raping their victims. They're seeking out. They're having sex with their victims. So the question begs to be asked: how did they get that way? Were they made that way, or born that way, or is it a fusion of
sure.
both?
Were they abused that way?
Well, I think it's a fusion of both. I liken it to minestrone soup, if you want to know the truth. It's a bunch of different ingredients put in a pot with water, a low heat, or the cover, and let it simmer for a while.
It simmers. It takes a long time to cook, but it's going to get there, right?
Ultimately, yes. And they're very, very, very dangerous predators because they're driven, motivated.
In this country, Philip, we hear of these cases on a case-by-case basis. Of course, the most recent being Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. And that's a bizarre story. There's a book for you right there, my friend, if you can ever get to him. But,
well, it's interesting you mention him because, in fact, I am interested in the case, and I have written him letters, and I would in a second.
Has he written you back?
Actually, yes.
He has, because he said when he was a kid, demons got into him.
Well, you know, this thing of demons, look, he's a very good example of what I was talking about, because how motivated and how motivated, how driven he was. He was, as we know, and he kind of admitted it in court, but he was masturbating during torture and the murders, and even after the people were dead, he was doing that.
Well, how could his wife live with him so long and have no idea who he was?
You know, it's like I said just now about Jeffrey Dahmer's parents. You cannot take people's words on face value. There's no way that he was not into some kind of binding of her. It had to be something that he was expressing to her, probably from when they first met.